Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. 248-539-9797. We got open lines. Let's get back to your phone calls as we go to Greg in Dearborn here on 97.1. Hi, Greg.
Hey, guys. I had a Lions prediction and then a quick thing on the Buckeyes.
Sure.
45-41 for the Lions. Kind of everything that Aaron Glenn's saying, you know, they asked if they can do with this defense. And what did he say again? He's like, damn right we can.
Yeah.
So, I think... you know, you're going to get like Kirby with the I'll just forego all that stuff. Yeah, 45-41. And then on Ohio State, I think this is going to be the legitimate first year that Michigan fans for majority will be rooting for Ohio State to win. Because you got B1G pride a little bit, right? Because we all hate the SEC after this. And then there's a trolley side with, you know, extend Ryan Day. And then I got a text from my Ohio State buddy yesterday. That was a legit question. These guys are sick. I think I would rather beat Michigan every year than win the Natty.
Well, that's just stupid.
I can't.
They're out there, Gator.
I know. And they're out there for every fan base that, you know, they've got the nutballs out there that would say that they'd rather just beat the rival than win a national championship. It's beyond dumb to have that kind of mentality. I mean, I don't understand it.
Well, I'm not wired that way. I'll just say that. But in terms of whether or not most Michigan fans would be rooting for Ohio State, I don't know. I always like to say fans can feel and do, you know, however you want.
Can't imagine that's the case.
I would think that, Greg, you're wrong, but, you know, I don't know. I found myself happy for two Buckeyes I've gotten to see over the years and hear over the years. I think Emeka Ogbuka and Travion Henderson seem like really cool kids, and they're key parts of this team, and I'm also sensing that they've caught a lot of crap for what happened, and I feel bad for players. It's, you know, the way that this I think some of their fans treat them. I don't want to paint all their fans. Though. Yeah, well, like I said, there were two in particular. Bottom line is, I don't know. I think it's better for Michigan football if they don't win at all. If you're asking that or coming in, but I think they've.
What if Ryan Day has a big Michigan problem?
So
it's obvious he does.
Yeah, I think he's done enough in the postseason that will secure his return. The only thing that could have got him fired. What were they up 34-8 at the half? If they'd blown that lead.
Yeah.
If they'd found a way to blow that lead in the Rose Bowl, I think he might have got canned right there. But thank you for the phone call.
But they did.
Nope. Let's go to Kevin in Redford. You're next on 97.1. Hi, Kevin.
Hey guys, happy New Year.
You too.
And I'm not going to post even. So what I was thinking with the college football playoff is that all four teams that lost were the teams that got the bye. They're rusty. We say it all the time in the NFL. If they sat too long, you get rusty, and then you get beat. You asked earlier what needs to change. All the games need to be pulled ahead. You could still give byes if you want. Pull everything closer to the regular season. And then you won't have this long, month-long break where everyone sits. It gets all rusty. Or if we look at it realistically, they're going to expand to 16. If you pull the first-round games the week after the championship games, it puts the finals this coming Saturday. The games go for far too long.
College football has a massive calendar problem. There's something true to what you're saying. There's a huge calendar problem with things like the portal being open before the season is done. The way to solve that is the portal is open after spring semester, and guys can move around then. You when you are out of school, you're there for a year. You can leave school, but you can't transfer anywhere until after the calendar year is done at the school you were at. Because right now you got players and coaches and all the shuffling going on. Well, teams are still playing, and it's really bizarre.
Exactly.
It makes no sense. You don't hold free agency with 2 weeks to go in the NFL season. and then exactly. Have movement, and you have player movement before the NFL season's done. As far as, you know, the format and whether or not we need to move it around, there's the thing that is really crippling this whole idea is that we have conference champions that are so diluted. Mm-hmm. We're crowning a conference champion that plays half the teams in the conference because we've overexpanded the conferences for a short-term money grab. And I'm not even sure what to do with that. So we're giving these conference champions first-round buys because they did well with their schedule in a given conference. And that's screwed everything up. We don't need conference championship games. We don't need the long breaks. You're right. Before this whole thing started, my only complaint was I thought that the teams that got a bye should also get home field. And I think the results would be different. And I will
say right there, you expand to 16, everyone gets a home game.
I don't want to expand. I
don't really either, but I just
it feels inevitable because every time you do, it means there's more games and more money.
I always thought the sweet spot was eight teams.
Eight?
Eight.
Okay.
Not 18. Eight teams total go that route and you know, you could figure out whatever you. I like the idea of the home games. That's a lot of fun for those fan bases. It was cool this year.
It was really cool
to see those matchups take place. You know, at Notre Dame, at Columbus, and you know, and the
like. Our buddy Andy went to the Notre Dame Indiana game, and he said there's nothing like it. Was incredible. That scene, that atmosphere, everything about it. All right, I mentioned I went down the wormhole of Justin Jefferson versus Amik Robertson, which apparently goes back to high school. Now, unfortunately, I don't remember which guy went to which school. There's got to be a list of famous alums here somewhere on the Wikipedia page. Justin Jefferson, okay, found it here, is a product of Destrehan High School.
Oh, yeah.
The Destrehan.
Go Eagles.
Wildcats.
Wildcats.
And Amik Robertson's from Thibodaux High School.
Oh, Thibodaux.
Yep.
Go Bulldogs.
They are the Tigers.
Tigers.
Yep. And they are separated by 42 miles, Destrehan and Thibodaux. And apparently they used to do battle when Destrehan and Thibodaux played.
Okay.
Yep. So there's some history there. Keep that in mind when you're watching. It's Tiger Pride versus Wildcat Pride.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Tigers and Wildcats, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not a feline.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Are there more Louisiana names than Thibodaux and Destrehan?
Thibodaux's pretty. That's pretty Louisiana.
Yep. So there you go. Something to look forward to this weekend. I want to do an update, Gator, on the ticket situation for Sunday.
Oh, buy-in price?
The buy-in price. Has it gone up? Has it gone down? We will get to that coming up today at 1:16. Here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They care more so you win more. They specialize in auto and truck accidents, and that is why they have the largest auto accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. And they have the largest truck accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. So why wouldn't you call them if you are in an accident? Educated consumers will choose Michigan Auto Law. Do your research and learn more at autolaw.com. They care more, you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com.
Welcome back to Carson Anderson here on 97.1 The Ticket. Taking your calls and texts at 248-539-9797. Big Lions game on Sunday night at home at Ford Field against the Vikings for number one in the NFC. We know this. Of course, it's the division championship as well. Some other NFL news that has come down that the Jets have reportedly, they say this because their webpage put this out, their Twitter account, "We have completed an interview with Mike Vrabel for our head coach position." I think the Jets would be pretty wise to go ahead and make that head coach hire if they could.
Not Rex Ryan.
No, not Rex Ryan. Not Rex Ryan. They've completed an interview with Mike Vrabel, which only makes all the sense in the world because I'm stunned Mike Vrabel is still not employed as a head coach.
Somewhere. I'm a Vrabel guy. Always have been a Vrabel guy.
Good reason to be.
Yep. All right. Couple things need to get caught up on. One, we mentioned it earlier. We got sidetracked by some calls that took a little bit longer. Squid Game 2 is out.
Oh, it is?
Yes. All of us watch Squid Game on Netflix. I don't watch a lot of television. I'm still working my way through Breaking Bad.
How far are you on that?
I'm almost done with season 2.
All right, so you slowed down considerably.
Yes, I have.
You still into it?
I'm starting to lose a little bit of interest.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to stick with it because it comes with such high praise, but...
How many seasons are there of Breaking Bad?
There's got to be like 8 or 9, I think.
Oh, boy. This does not bode well for Doug.
No, really, you don't, Doug. This is not unexpected.
Doug's going to be out before January's day. He's done with it.
I made it through a few series. I made it all the way through Ozark.
Yeah, well, that was only 3, I think.
I think 4 or 5 that was.
All the way through Yellowstone.
Yeah, that's done.
I bailed on The Walking Dead. And I'm hanging in there. I'm not completely done. We'll see. But Kang is what? You watched the first episode of Squid Game 2?
Yes, I was able to get in one episode during my time off. And I'm going to continue watching. I want to see how this thing plays out, but... it's been, 2 years since Squid Game 1? Yeah. So that kind of took a little of the anticipation out of it. Mm-hmm. But, I'm going to finish this one out. Gator, you're in, right?
Absolutely.
And okay. Have you started it at all?
No, yet? I did. I totally forgot that it had started. So
you would have you would crush it.
I think. Yeah, I'll crush it.
So is this...
I got some time. All it's going to stop me is... hitting pause to let the dog outside. All right, you just stay. And then at some point, I'll just leave the back door open. You do what you got to do. I'm watching this.
So this is going to be done by Monday.
I don't know if it'll be done by Monday. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff going on this weekend I want to do. But it'll be done within 2 weeks at most. At most.
I got to tell you, the weird thing about Squid Game is, honestly, watching the first season, it was hyper tense. I was so tense watching that show, and I was like, why am I doing this?
The thing about it is, I don't think they needed to do a sequel.
Me neither. Actually,
It was such a perfect series, and then the last, whatever it was, 2 minutes of that final episode, I'm like, come on.
They were setting up.
And they didn't need to.
They didn't need to. That's the thing.
Usually, it was a perfect ending.
Usually people want more, right, Gator? Yeah. But I think the way that season one ended... You didn't want more. In fact, everyone said, no more, no more, right? They're
no
saying,
mas.
Yeah. And they gave us the second one anyways because, hey, they knew people would watch, right? Like me and Gator.
Yeah. Yep.
The one that I did finish and I am anticipating is Severance, which comes out in February. In fact, the Severance thing is, I'm such a big fan of season one. I'm going to go back and watch it again so I'm caught up when season two debuts.
Wow, that's dedication.
That is not like me at all.
That is dedication.
Not like me at all.
What is that on Netflix? What is that?
That is an Apple TV. Oh, yep.
I think I have Apple TV, actually.
Gator's out because it's Apple TV.
Well, I was forced to get it because of baseball games being on Apple. And so I did it, and I haven't... canceled it. So.
For people new to the show, Gator's not a huge Apple guy.
Doesn't like the Genius Bar.
The Genius Bar, yeah. Oh, what's your problem? Did you make a reservation at Genius Bar? Not even the Genius Bar, it's just Genius Bar. You're not a genius, you're just a techie dude. Let's go. Just because you work here doesn't make you a genius.
Severance is really good.
Okay.
And I finished. I don't know.
Doug doesn't know actors. Denzel Washington's in it.
Yeah, Denzel. And Reese Witherspoon.
Right.
I have no idea.
Oh, Adam Scott. Okay. Gotcha. Isn't it a carbon? 6 years, whatever it was, from Step Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia Arquette. I know her. John Turturro. I know her. Christopher Walken's in it. You don't know Walken?
I guess I do know. I do know Walken.
I mean, didn't know his name.
Right.
That guy?
He's a more cowboy guy. Yeah.
And then you get to a bunch of people I don't know. But yeah, okay. You know, what's the premise of this whole thing?
You can sever yourself from the work you. So you show up to work and then you, in your world, you get out of work. But there's also a you that then has to go to work, but you just don't remember being there.
Mark leads a team of office workers whose memories have been surgically divided between their work and personal lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has more, but I don't know if it's a spoiler, so I won't go into more.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay. And it's really good, you say?
I loved it, and I didn't expect that I would. And I loved it so much, I'll go back and watch and get caught up.
Is there any nudity?
Well, you big Patricia Arquette fan?
This is not anymore. Maybe back in the True Romance era, 30 years ago.
Yeah. How about 2025?
Right.
There is no nudity. Sorry.
You want to see Adam Scott's abs?
Yeah, they still spectacular?
Yeah, right.
That's all.
No carbs.
Just asking a question. It's all right.
Well, I'm not sure seeing his abs does not necessarily qualify as nudity.
Is there any good violence? Good violence? Any violence?
Not really. It's a thinker.
Oh, it's a thinker.
Oh, it's on Apple TV.
Yep. You have to be Gator for you to understand it.
Oh, that's funny.
For you to understand it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You have to be part genius.
Oh, okay. Yeah. This is the part of the show where you're supposed to get your iPhone out and, dear Siri, am I writing her a letter? Hey Siri.
So you're out.
How pompous can I be and still work at Apple?
Can't be too pompous to work at Apple.
Yeah, just thinking of Squid Game too.
What do you mean?
He's gonna watch that. Now he's not going to that any Apple TV series. He's gonna crush Squid Game season 2.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to this season because the season 1, you know why you were so tense, Doug? It was the games.
Yeah.
You know, so season 2, no spoiler for anybody out there because I've only seen one episode, but are they going to play different games? Are they going to play the same games? Is it more of a storyline, you know, with the main character?
And just so people didn't watch Squid Game, the premise was you either win the game or you die.
And you win a bunch of won.
Yeah, bunch of money. It ended up being whatever it was.
And at the end, there was, you know,
$20 million or something.
And there was, 200 contestants? And in the end, one of them would be left living and get all the money, and the rest all were dead.
That's right.
It's high stakes.
Survival of the fittest, yeah. But they take people that are downtrodden.
Yes, that need the money.
Yeah, people that are desperate.
Those were pretty much who were choosing to play the game.
Well, yeah, but they didn't know.
They know death was the other option.
Yeah, but they were given the option of leaving.
Sure, but if they didn't know that the other option was you die.
Yeah. But once there was a bailout, right? They were told they could leave at one point.
And it's a very interesting.
Yeah, it was childhood games.
Yeah,
as an adult, but death was the consequence.
And the games were interesting with a strategy involved in that, and then knowing what the outcome could be if you don't win. That's obviously it's there, and it's the mind games that go on. Like because you start, there's no question when you watch a series like this, you put yourself in a position of a contestant.
Good God, I will
and
still have nightmares.
How would you possibly handle those situations? And I don't know about you. I remember being brought to tears in an episode. Like, how could you possibly make this decision?
Dude, I have nightmares about trying to get an umbrella shape out of a cookie wafer. I mean, are you kidding me? What? With the clock ticking?
It's too bad you didn't get the candy cane.
Well, one of them was like a triangle. That's what you wanted. You wanted the triangle. You didn't want the umbrella.
I sure as hell didn't want that umbrella.
All right, enough. Buy and price. For Sunday's game now?
Yes.
Listed on SeatGeek at $370 with only $128.50 worth of fees. $498.50 is the buy-in price right now for a standing room only seat? Seat? For a standing room only ticket?
Space.
Yep.
Man, that's a lot.
Yep.
What about an actual seat?
Actually, here's one for same price. There, you can get a single ticket in section 370. Is that what it says? No. Listing price is section 343.
Doug, what if I wanted to impress a lady and take her to the Lions game on Sunday night? And I don't have tickets, but I want two right next to each other.
You want two tickets and you want good seats?
Let's say I want to be on the 15-yard line.
15?
Yeah.
And here's a pair for $715.
Each?
Yep. Well, that's before fees. Hold on. Go to checkout. With the fees, $1,913.50.
I'm sorry. Without the fees, they were 700 and something?
Without the fees, they were 715 each. So $1,430, add in $241.75 per ticket in fees.
That's ridiculous.
It is. The fee thing is
it's
really
a hell ridiculous. Of a markup. It is completely unnecessary. So does that mean if I were to buy a ticket for $20, it would now cost me $260?
No, the fees are they're like the $370 ticket is $128.50 fee.
See, how does that make sense?
The $715 ticket has a $241.75 fee. It's a percentage.
I hate this.
Dude, everybody
it's
hates
ridiculous.
It.
You're it's alone. Just ridiculous. Like, no, I know, but it's like...
They could do themselves such a favor by just listing what the person is paying instead of listing this BS price and then adding fees, because we all know it's coming, but it is insanely irritating. Okay, let's get to more Lions Vikings talk. Also, we got picks straight ahead at 1:38. Here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket. Gator and I are coming in at 58-59%-ish picking games against the spread this year. I'm not going to lie. This is an extremely tough week to pick NFL games. Because you got some teams that are resting starters, others that are playing for something. How important is the seeding to certain teams?
You got the Browns are getting 20 points this week against Baltimore.
Yeah. Wow. Yep. So it's, like I said, I'm not going to lie, it's exceedingly difficult to figure out games this week, but we do our best, and we'll give you our picks coming up in about 7-8 minutes. You went 4-2 last week, right?
4-2, 3-0 in the NFL.
Your NFL record is outstanding.
Thank you.
Yep. I got you at 33-14-1 this year in the NFL.
That's correct.
Yeah. That's a pretty good record.
Thank you.
Picking NFL games. I'm actually 27-18, which isn't bad.
But, that's pretty good.
But overall, we've done it. We've done a decent job, but I ain't going to lie. This week's been tough. So do with these what you will. In the meantime, as we get you set for the Lions and the Minnesota Vikings, we've discussed, you know, a lot of what's going to go on. You know, is Kirby Joseph not making the Pro Bowl more motivation? Is it vendetta? Is it, you know what it is? It's another example of Detroit versus everyone, isn't it?
100% it is. I understand why some people don't like him. I get it. You know, the low hits on receivers and it's knocking guys out for seasons. I get that. I'm not comfortable with that. But he's our guy. And he plays the game hard, plays it at the top speed. And he's also a guy that leads the NFL in interceptions with 9. He is a valuable part of the Lions' defense and necessary for this defense. But for him to be off the Pro Bowl squad, again, does it mean anything? Not really, but is it a snub? 100%.
Yeah.
100% is a snub, because how do you lead the NFL in interceptions and not be a Pro Bowl player? It's like, I get it. If you're giving up, you know, if you're just risk reward guy and you're giving up a million touchdowns while picking off nine passes because you just gamble every time you're there, that's not the case with him.
No. And I remember we talked about this with the Pistons, the going to work Pistons, how they weren't, they had an edge to them. And I think that edge helped them win an NBA championship. And I feel like this Lions team, as much as they are, they're mostly loved, although I'm sure fans of Minnesota and Green Bay and Chicago are probably thinking, enough!
Right.
But they are getting a lot of love from non-Lions fans. You see Lions jerseys everywhere. We take over other stadiums. The fan base has been really supportive of them, and they're, for the most part, a likable group. But if people don't like Kirby, I feel like this Lions team has an edge to it that I don't want to ever go away. And I think it's a... You know, it goes all the way back to the perceptions of the city. It goes back to what the perceptions were of Jared Goff. Like, it's a whole bunch of stuff. And we still have this edge that I think is really, really important to the culture. And it gets tested this week against the Vikings. I also want to play this again. I just love this soundbite from Aaron Glenn.
Fair enough.
He talked about how the defense, they are opportunistic and they do make big plays, but... the question was asked, is this defense, can you win a Super Bowl with this defense? Here's what Aaron Glenn said. Print the shirt.
You're damn right I ordered a code red.
You're damn right we can win the Super Bowl. Aaron Glenn, 1-2-2025.
I mean, I'm not questioning him, are you?
No. No, and I mean, he's right. And the reason, we've been through this before, and I remember it with the Tigers. We were striving for them to have a perfect team, and they never did win a World Series. But through that whole era, better part of a decade, when they were in the mix, it was always about perfection, answering every bell. Can you steal enough bases if necessary? Do they walk enough? Is the bullpen good enough? Is your setup guys good enough? You know, are they covering enough ground in the outfield? Everything. Like, it was, we were just, every last minutiae of the game, you question whether or not they're good enough, and now we're doing it with the Lions, and it looked like they were good enough defensively, and then the injuries hit them, and it is what it is, but... That doesn't change, it shouldn't change the goal. It might change the percentage chance or the confidence in getting it done. But the goal remains the same. Oh, let's get back to your phone calls. DJ in Detroit, you're on 97 on the ticket. Hi, DJ.
Fellas, happy new year. What up, though, with you?
Happy new year.
Good. Happy new year to you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So, in this particular instance right here, fellas, I don't even think this is a Detroit versus everybody. You know, I'm total team Detroit, everything. But I don't even think this is that with the Kirby Joseph thing. Yes, he's had some low hits and that sort of thing. I go back to Amon-Ra St. Brown making All-Pro a few years ago, but he didn't make the Pro Bowl on his big welcome to the world moment. Kirby Joseph has been playing well since he was drafted, but I think a lot of people really wasn't hip to him, for real. So that's kind of like the Pro Bowl snub, whereas if he repeats anything close to this next year, he's going to make the Pro Bowl and everything else. But this year, he's actually going to make All-Pro, and though he makes the Pro Bowl. I just think they wasn't fully hip to him, guys, in my opinion.
Yeah, you might be right. And, you know, I would use this in any way possible. Do I really think it's Detroit versus everybody? I kind of do. And whether it is or it isn't, I would phrase it that way in Allen Park. I would phrase it that way.
Yeah, look, he is having an All-Pro season. I don't Pro Bowl, who cares? All-Pro, that's got teeth to it. That means something to be All-Pro.
Absolutely. Okay. You guys keep going in and out. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you loud and clear.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I've always thought anyway that Pro Bowl is kind of, you know, All-Pro, man, that's the one that's you the best of the best of the best.
You're right.
That's the one that really, you get what I'm saying? But I just think next year, he repeats anything close to this, he'll make the Pro Bowl and the All-Pro. But, you know, from a contractual thing, fellas, what I think he probably will be a little juiced at, you know, when you go into a contract year, what I think is next year for him, when you put that Pro Bowl on your resume along with All Pro, you kind of missing out on money by not making the Pro Bowl. You get what I'm saying? So that that might be another reason why he's mad or motivated as well.
You could be right. And, you know, I don't know how much the Lions seem to have a real good relationship with their players. It's
Hey, Doug, before I go, man, you there?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I got you, DJ. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. No, it's like y'all keep going in and out on my end. Hey, Doug, man, I thought about you this holiday season. No kidding, man. I'm talking about every time somebody had a camera, dog, I was teasing, man. When I tell you this hairline is straight across, man, it wasn't one camera that got ready to take a photo that I wasn't in because my hair is growing back.
Okay. Now,
I want to let you know that.
I want to talk about are you Marcus Freeman good?
What's Marcus Freeman? I'm not here. What's Marcus Freeman?
Marcus
good?
Freeman, the coach for Notre Dame. Is your hair as good as his?
No, heck no, man. Hey, but you gotta realize something, Doug. You dealing with somebody, man, who had a receding hairline. He's about 18. I mean, it's just back and noticeable to where, like, all my friends, my family, they're like, dude, your hair looks great. It really does. But no, it's not Marcus Freeman. Heck no. That's gonna take about another year.
Did you take plenty of before pictures so you can compare it with the after pictures?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So that's part of the process. You, like in Turkey, you send off all your before pictures, and then they'll let you know if you even have enough donor hair or how bad it is, whether they can even help you. Like, they'll be honest with you. If it's too far gone, no. So I got plenty of before pictures to compare.
DJ, this is my favorite Carson Anderson subplot of 2024. Is DJ's hair?
Yeah. When you start a whatever, sentence, man, with "in Turkey" with a capital T,
yeah,
it's game on.
Yeah, you had Doug at Turkey.
Hey, man, you know you guys, my guys, man. I love listening to y'all. I've seen y'all some pictures on my Twitter, man. You can check it out.
Much appreciated. So thank you, DJ.
Y'all guys, there we go.
Look forward to it. Happy New Year.
All right, you ready to pick some games?
Am I?
Let's go. All right, Gator, I've admitted that this is one of the more difficult weeks to pick because you don't know the motivation for a lot of teams in the NFL. I'm going to start with a game where a team has admitted they're sitting their starters, many of them. And I think Seattle's going to want to finish on a good note. Rams going up there shorthanded. I'll take Seattle to cover the 6.5 at home against the Rams.
I'm looking at Cincinnati at Pittsburgh. Cincinnati hanging on to any kind of shred that they could possibly have to win this game. They're giving up a point at Pittsburgh. Cincinnati is just trying so hard. I think they'll continue to win. I like Cincinnati -1.
Washington is playing for seeding, and Dallas is terrible. I think they've had I-75 eyes, as we used to call it here, for months in Dallas. I'll take Washington to cover the 6 to try and secure their seeding in the NFC playoffs.
Look, I recognize that Philadelphia is going to be resting some players this week for sure, but they're taking on the Giants. And I think the Giants, they had a nice win with Drew Lock at the helm last week, and they're probably feeling good about themselves, the players are. But at this point, maybe the coaching staff and the management is saying, stop winning. Philly's giving up 3 points. I like Philly to cover.
Okay, I have a policy, Gator. I do not really play the local teams.
Oh.
But I am 10-6 this year in Car House Lock of the Week. Oh, I will Car House Lock the Detroit Lions -3 against the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay. He went there.
I did.
He went there. I'm not going there.
I did.
Not with my picks. But looking at the Miami and the New York Jets game, this is always a crazy, crazy game. I love that the Jets season has just turned into what it's turned into. Miami not going to play Tua, but it doesn't mean they're not going to be playing. I like Miami -1 at the Jets. It's my shoot the boot lock of the week.
All right, there you go. Kang every week loves on a pick and hates on a pick. Which one do you like the most this week, Kang?
I know you haven't been the best with your shoot the boot lock of the week, Gator, but I'm going to agree with you this week on the shoot the boot. I actually thought, like, all right, will the Jets pull one out for Aaron Rodgers? You know, this is probably his last game as a Jet. Maybe as a pro, who knows? Yeah. But they just don't have anything. They don't have anything, and I don't care that Tua is not playing. I think the Dolphins beat the Jets, so I like that pick, Gator.
And which one do you hate?
I'm going to stick with Gator on this one. I think Drew Locke is trying his ass off with the Giants. I feel like with Philly sitting guys, Drew Locke is going to really try to win this game at all costs. I think the Giants pull this one out because Philly doesn't care.
Look, I would laugh hysterically if the Giants are able to do it again, because I do agree.
They're just worsening their draft pick.
Drew Locke is doing everything in the world to make this happen. He was my champ of the week, by the way.
Oh, was he?
Because what he was like 17 to 23 for 309 yards, 4 touchdown passes, ran for a fifth. Like, this, somebody forgot to tell him we need to lose. Philadelphia's backup, so we're going to be good enough, I think. But, I hear you.
That's my reasoning. Yeah.
There you go. Those are our picks this week, and a difficult week to pick games. We'll get your last chance at your picks. Lions, Vikings, who wins and why? That is next. 248-539-9797. Get your selection in. Go on the record, and we'll revisit it on Monday. The NFL playoffs are almost here, but it's not too late to get in on regular season action with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Because right now, new customers can finish the season strong with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So go find yourself an alternate spread. Like, find the Lions plus 17.5 for this game against Minnesota. Your $5 bet might get you 5 cents, but you get the $250 in bonus bets for the playoffs. There you go. That's the workaround. Visit FanDuel.com/Doug. Again, to get the $250 in bonus bets, FanDuel is an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Massive game for the Lions on Sunday night. It has the feel of playoff atmosphere already, Doug, and yet it's not a playoff game, but the ramifications are so huge.
Huge.
First, you get the bye if you win the game because you'd be the number one seed. It's just massive. And oh, by the way, then you also have home field advantage throughout the playoffs.
Huge.
Huge.
Winner take all.
When Dan Campbell said, I think it was yesterday, he was talking about the...
this is the Squid Game of NFL regular season finales, right?
Right, sort of, except both teams get to continue on. Dan Campbell mentioned, when he put it in just the simplest terms, yeah, look, if you win this whole thing here, then you, or if you win the game and you get the number one seed, then you only have to win twice to get the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
That's it.
Yep. At home.
Give me two again. And they're both at home. If you win the first one, you get the second one.
You know, it's going to be so reassuring if the Lions do win and have a convincing performance to know that they're going to be getting healthier and they're going to play playoff game, hopefully games at home.
Mm.
Let's get back to your open line calls. We go to Michael in West Bloomfield. Hi, Michael.
Hey, happy new year, fellas.
You too.
Can we just skip Saturday and get right to Sunday night? I can't stand this. As much as I love Saturday, I'm waiting for Sunday at 8:20 p.m.
Understood. Understood.
Hey, so here's the deal. The Lions got B-Dab, okay? And it's not a dance move. That's a Brad, Dan, Aaron, and Ben. Oh. They're not going to let these guys let their guards down. They have been the best prepared, most attentive to detail team I have seen all year. And I called a few weeks ago, remember, and Doug, you looked up the last time they had a false start on the offensive line. I don't even think they've had one since I called last. Maybe Mahogany had one, but I don't know.
Well, remember they had a couple in the first game. Was Owusika had two early against Minnesota, right?
And then, yeah, but that was game. Was eons what ago. Was that game five?
Yeah,
week five. This is week 18.
Yep.
And you know, they, with the way Dan works the preseason, I mean, games 1, 2, and 3 were pretty much preseason games for the starters. So I am so excited. Jahmyr Gibbs has served notice that he is a certified superstar. Jameson Williams is going to keep going. And I'll guarantee you Aaron Glenn did not put all of his cards on the table against San Fran, because for those San Francisco receivers to have a 10-yard radius around them on some of those throws, even with second stringers, that's just not NFL football. So there was something going on. I guarantee it's been fixed, and he is going to have something for Sam Darnold. So let's go Lions.
What do you got for a score?
38-28. Because they're exchanging jab for jab, but then Kirby Joseph is going to get his league-leading 13th interception, and bye-bye Minnesota, 14-win wild card team. Yeehaw.
All right, thank you, Michael. Got you recorded, 38-28.
And he gave a yeehaw.
He did give a yeehaw. That's the first one of the day. First one of the year. Jim in Utica, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Jim.
Yes, I got the Lions 30 and the Vikings 26. Do a little math there. There's a lot of field goals on the Vikings side. We're going to hold them. We're going to give up some yardage, I predict, on defense, right? Mm-hmm. But when it gets down to the nitty-gritty in that near the end zone, we're going to hold them to field goals.
If I do the math, there's more field goals on the Lions side.
No, there's three touchdowns, three field goals, 30 points, right?
So you got four field goals on the Vikings side.
Correct. We're going to score one more touchdown than them.
So they.
And you want a bold? Want a bold prediction from within the game?
Yeah.
All right, Jack Fox is going to all pro. Jack Fox will complete a pass for a first down.
Well, he might. He might.
He's got a cannon.
The Lions have the most fake punt attempts since Dan Campbell in the NFL since Dan Campbell took over, and they have a huge, a wildly successful percentage. Like the league percentage on fake punts is something 28%, 29%. Dan Campbell's near 50% on their fake punts. So they've been really, really good. He's taken a lot of chances, but they've been rewarded. By the way, the Lions had two false start penalties to the previous caller, Michael in West Bloomfield. Two false start penalties in the game against the Chicago Bears. One was on Hogan Hatton, the center, on a field goal attempt. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And the other was Mahogany, as he mentioned. But see if I can look at the buy penalties. I don't have a comparison. Oh, maybe I do here. False start by team. Okay, the Lions' false starts, 14. Only two teams are better. Denver with 13 and New Orleans with 12. It's a buttoned up group.
And they're playing at home, so there's no excuse to false start if you're at home.
Oh no, we've got the fans behind us. Ticket text coming in.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Doug and Scott, you think this will be the most watched Sunday night game ever?
Yes.
DB in Waterford, he wants to know which matchup holds that record. I don't know.
I don't know. It was a quick yes for me. It feels like it should be.
I think it is going to be, guys. The Lions have been must-watch TV for the country for about a year and a half, 2 years now. And with this game, this is like the most meaningful last game of the regular season ever in the NFL.
It is. And it's literally the last game at the last time. I mean, this is being built up properly. I feel like sometimes we kind of manufacture some interest. There's no manufacturing this. This is only building up more and more and more. I feel like Detroit's ready to explode on Sunday night. I don't know when people plan on getting downtown. I haven't looked at the weather to see what the weather's going to be like. But
it's going to be cold.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like this is one of those days that you want to get downtown at like 2 o'clock and hit the bars, enjoy yourself, and then start to head towards the stadium around 6:30. And it's just going to be a flood of people, a sea of humanity that is going to be enjoying it. Are people going to stay downtown? Do you just go for the tailgate and then head home, watch the game? Obviously, the games be, you know, packed with 65,000 fans. Is it going to be like 65,000 Lions fans? I think pretty close to it. I can't imagine Lions fans are really looking forward to selling their tickets for this one, particularly if they know it's going to a Viking fan.
All right, it appears that the highest rated Sunday night football game ever was a game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the New York Jets. I'm just trying to see if this is accurate. I mean, it's hard to read these things, but it apparently peaked at 20, it averaged 27 million viewers. So that was it. And I guess we'll see if the Lions can beat that. Mike Valeni has sauntered into studio and joins us here on 97.1 The Ticket. I got a question for you.
Okay.
Have the Giants found something in Drew Locke?
Go to hell. And I mean that respectfully, because I know this is your
domain. And I think sincerely.
Domain. No, no, not sincerely. You're a good man. I don't want to talk about it. It's just.
I was thinking about this the other day.
Oh, good. More of this.
Yes. You obviously want to have the best pick you can get. Do you want that to take a quarterback, or do you want that so that you have more bargaining power to trade back?
Both. Like, I'm not married to one player or any specific way of doing things. Look, in the end, by winning, they may double down and do the unthinkable and, like, keep Joe Shane and Daboll only to then – or keep Shane, fire Daboll. It's just the whole thing is going to repeat. So it doesn't matter. We have become what the Lions used to be. And the Lions have become what the Giants used to be, which is the ultimate compliment.
Is there a player right now that you're like, okay, as long as they end up with this guy, I'm okay?
Nah. No.
So you're just miserable regardless.
Pretty. Well, I mean, Gator, like, you know, look, we lived it all together. We've all worked together since 04. I mean, when the Lions would draft a QB or not have a QB, right? You're looking at Stoney Case and Gus Frerotte. You know you don't have any hope. So, yeah, I'm hopeless. I have nothing. I have the Lions as my B team.
Yeah.
17 of 23, 309.
They hadn't scored more than 20 since October 5th.
It took by the time you handed it over to Drew Locke.
There you go.
He unlocked the offense.
In the end, it doesn't matter. Like, they're garbage. They're one of the, I don't know, three or four worst franchises in the sport. They're awful. They're just a disgrace. And the man who owns them is a complete spineless coward. John Mara is awful. He reminds me of, well, certain other people who we don't like who've owned teams in the past. So,
sounds like you're taking it well.
I'm great. I'm just super.
All right, what do you got planned coming up next?
Lions Vikings.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got some CFP thoughts that will sprinkle in. Did you see the one thing? Changes are unlikely. Oh, that's good.
I'm okay with letting it breathe for a few years.
I'm not.
No,
I want to suffocate this with a pillow.
I hate this whole thing. The only thing I'd change is something I wanted to change before it even started.
What?
This past round of games being on campus sites.
Would be good.
Yep.
But it's all four teams with the bye, 0-4. All five conference champions, 0-5. Mm-hmm. The seating's a joke. Like, guys, these are basic fixes.
I will tell you what. The SEC taking a gas pipe is...
Oh, we're doing this again. I don't know. Yeah, but Georgia lost the starting quarterback.
Yeah.
Did they get the top four teams right? I mean, the four teams playing, the final four teams, are the best four teams in college football?
Penn State's not one of the four best teams in college football. Scott.
They're just well coached.
Will you get to your weekend? You're spicy.
Yeah,
right,
let's get to Gator Rant. Another big weekend of football and a huge Sunday night. Stay safe. Treat each other with respect.